the verse 18, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, hey, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. He will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, and I've abbreviated that into three words, but if not. We know that God is the Savior. God is the Deliverer. God is the Sovereign King who has incredible power. And he does fantastic things. He saves us. He delivers us. He hears our prayers. He does amazing, miraculous things. Oh, did he not bring the people of Israel out of captivity? Did he not show his might and his power in story after story, David and Goliath and the rescue of his people from captivity and sending a Savior, Jesus Christ? Did he not get Peter out of prison? Did he not deliver Paul from his suffering? Did he not do great things? Is he not the great Savior and the Deliverer? Of course he is. But are there not also many stories in the Bible, and many times in our own experience, when this great Savior and Deliverer does not seem to produce the goods? When we cry to him and say, save us, Lord, and nothing happens. When we're in a tight spot and he doesn't seem to be concerned. After all, yes, he did deliver his people from bondage in Egypt, but they've been there for 430 years. And certainly for the last 80 years, they had been crying out to God because of their bondage and saying, God, save us. God, set us free from these Egyptians. Look, they're killing all our baby boys. Save my baby boy, Lord. And God didn't do a thing for 80 years. And the same with the people in captivity. In Babylonia, yes, eventually he rescued them, but it took a long time. Yes, eventually he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, but for centuries they'd been saying, Lord, have you not promised us a deliverer? Have you not promised that you will intervene, that God will come, that God will rescue, God will save? Generation after generation, it didn't happen. Yes, Peter was rescued from prison. What about poor old Stephen? He came to a nasty end. James, he was killed in prison. Paul, yes, there were times when God delivered him, but certainly not every time. He spent many years languishing in jail. So here we are. This is often the challenge, isn't it? God, what do we sing? Leaping about, dancing. God is so good all the time. And I'll guarantee that there was some here this morning who thought, well, I'm not sure he is. It was pretty good last year, but this year has been a heavy year. It's been tough. He's not been so good this year. There have been situations I've had to face. I just wish God would just reach down and do something. My neighbours, for instance. I don't mind, but the things that they say, the things that they do, the attitude they take, the way they play their loud music at 2 o'clock in the morning. God, will you not cause them to move down to Cornwall? Okay, do something. My boss, my work situation. So I've got to go. But Lord, couldn't you do something to get rid of my boss? Or find me some better colleagues to work with, or a better job. Lord, help. And he doesn't do it. Your home situation, this person that you're caring for, and you say, Lord, just give me space, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and I don't mind doing it, but Lord, I'd like a bit of a relief, I'd like a break, and the break doesn't come. Struggling with temptation, struggling with things in us that we don't like, with anger, with fear, with lust, with thoughts and things that come into our minds. And Lord, take it away. Lord, make me pure and holy. Lord, make me beautiful. Get rid of all these things. And they don't go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, the God we serve is able to do it, and he will do it. It's quite within his power. But if not. And, I've written out on some yellow cards. Neil, can you organise this? You're a well-organized man. if you can get that to each member of the congregation, I should delegate if I were you. But a number of things that we can learn from this story about the but-if-not situations in which we find ourselves. You see, these things may not be affecting you just at the moment, but that sooner or later all of us have to face them, and they can be killers. We all know people who say, yeah, I used to go to church. Yeah, I used to believe. Yeah, I was a Christian. I'm quite a keen Christian. But then a friend of mine went ill with cancer, and I prayed for them. And I prayed with such faith. And the Lord gave me such faith, and I prayed with such intense trust and faith in God. And he let me down, and my friend died. And since then, I've given up going to church. I've given up believing in God. It's just broken me. It's shattered my faith. Others, it's not quite so serious, but it's still pretty heavy because I've prayed many times for many things in many situations. Or I've heard people give me a word, a promise from the Lord, and I've heard preachers say this, and it hasn't worked out that way in my life. And so I've not given up on Christianity altogether, but I've reached the stage where I don't expect anything to happen. I no longer hope for anything. I no longer go out on a limb. I no longer actually pray expecting God to hear my prayer. I go through the motions. It's okay, but I don't expect because I've been hurt so many times. So many times I've tried it and it didn't work. And so I'm not really going to try it again. Or equally, a third problem is that just think if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had gone into the burning fiery furnace and been frazzled to a frizzle straight away, and everybody would have said, what a useless God they've got. They say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver. But he didn't deliver, did he? He's not much of a God. Quite clearly, Nebuchadnezzar's gods are much better than the Jewish God. And so it's so damaging, isn't it? We as Christians, we sort of say, yeah, we've got a great God. He can do, and he doesn't deliver. And people around say, where is now your God? So it's a big thing. Big challenge, I suppose, to each one of us. There's plenty of answers in the New Testament. There's a man hanging on a cross, and God could have delivered him. God could have sent 12 legions of angels and delivered him. But he didn't. Paul again. 3 times I cried to God and said, God, save me, this thorn in my flesh. God, take it away. And he didn't. So, we got New Testament examples, and they probably help us even more than these Old Testament stories. But at least there's something in this Old Testament story. And now you've all got your little yellow cards. We can go on with these 5 points. As I say, you may be irrelevant to you at the moment, but maybe you could tuck this away in the back of your Bible against a rainy day when you might need it. Okay, 5 things, and you could probably find others yourself by reading the story through. Facing the furnace when God doesn't deliver, with help from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Point number one, don't go it alone. Share the load. Later on in the book, you read about Daniel going alone into the den of lions, but this is a good story because there's 3 of them, and we all know one of the greatest pains and one of the most awful thing about facing doubts, about facing situations that are too heavy for us, facing unanswered prayer, is facing them alone. And somehow there seems to be have been a culture among Christians that if everything's great, we come up the front and give a testimony and say, God is great, God is lovely, God is doing this in my life, and God has answered that prayer. But if things aren't going too well, we just sit at the back and keep quiet. And maybe that's not always helpful. Just keeping it into ourselves, am I the only one who's got questions and doubts? And am I the only one who's struggling at the moment and beginning to go under? Share it around. Not in the wrong way. Don't go moaning around, saying, oh, grim life, etc., etc. But find some friends that you can share it with. What an encouragement, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when one was sort of feeling, oh, should we give up on this? You know, shall we, you know, there's the other one. Oh, no, we won't. Okay. We need each other when things are tough. We need each other to encourage one another, to stand by. We need to find one or two people that we can be honest with and say, look, you know, I am going through a difficult time. Could you pray for me? Maybe we could meet every now and then just for a time of sharing together, and I could just tell you how I feel, and then we could pray about it. We need each other. At the end of the service, there'll be people just on that bit over there, and maybe some of us might want to go there and just talk with them and let them pray for us. Don't carry the load alone. Share it, because God has given us each other to stand by each other. And that's why it says, you know, when one's up and the other's down, well, they can help each other. And God has given us each other to bring us through. We are all human. Not any one single one of us is not human. None of us are superhuman. And we all go through difficult times. And we need each other to help each other through difficult times. Of course, you can also look at verse 25 there. And you can say, hey, it wasn't just three, it was four. And isn't that terrific? Not just three, but four. And the fourth one, oh, well, the speculators speculate. Maybe it was Jesus. Maybe it was an angel. We don't know. We don't know who it was who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. But God was there. God was there. And yeah. That's another great strength. And we get it, I think, as much from sharing with one another, the three of us and a fourth. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. So don't stay on your own. Share the load, and especially know what it is to have Jesus walking with you through that experience. Number two, build up your confidence in God. Well, that phrase, the God we serve is able. Now, the book of Psalms has many of the Psalms has a very clear pattern. Many of the Psalms, as you know, are written in those kind of situations, the kind of situations we're talking about, where, you know, we have heard with our ears of great things you did in the past, fantastic, you know, part of the Red Sea, bringing people like you, oh, fantastic. But now, Lord, look at our situation. Look where we are now, Lord. Our enemies are triumphing over us, and so on. Others of it go the other way round. They say, oh Lord, the waters have come up to my neck and I am in a pretty tough situation. And then it goes on through the psalm and then it says, but you, Lord, are the God who has done great things. You are the mighty God. So whether you start with the great things of God and then come to your situation, or whether you start with your situation and then go on to the great things of God, the thing you must do is realize that there's the other side of the picture. Just to look at your situation, just to look at what you are going through, is so distorted, is so inadequate. And what we need to do, obviously, is to say, is our God big enough for this situation? Have we got a God who has what it takes to bring us through? And of course we have, and one way or another, We can build up our confidence in God. And that's so important because it's at these difficult times that we're least inclined to sort of pick up our Bible and read through. And if you don't feel like picking up your Bible, well, find some other way of building up your confidence in God. You may be able to think back to times when God has done particularly good things. You may pick up a nice easy read like The Cross and the Switchblade or something like that, you know, that some way in which God has worked in some other situation somewhere else and you can read about it and say, yeah, that's our God. Maybe at the moment I'm not experiencing miracle after miracle, but God is able. Build up your confidence in God. There are so many ways of doing this. Be logical about it. Be sensible about it. The stories are they myth? Have they been made up? Have they been fabricated? The things that happened in your life and in the past, were they all just kind of a mistake? Or have you got evidence? Is there not clear evidence that our God is able? He's got the power. Now, he doesn't always do it, and we'll come on to that in the next couple of points. He doesn't always do it. He doesn't always have to do it the way that we expect. But he has the power. And something I've always thought about with prayer, that has found I found a great strength. And it is this: God will always give us what we ask for. In any situation, he will always answer our prayer and give us what we ask for, unless he can think of something better. So in any situation, we might say, get me out of here. And he will get you out of there, unless he can think of something better. So you know all this business about finding parking spaces. Okay, yeah. We all hear the story. People come up to the front and they say, oh, you know, I was late to do my shopping or late for this and that and the other. And as I drove down the road, I said, Lord, find me a parking space. And God, there, right in front of me, you know, a great lorry pulled out and there it was. Isn't God good? Isn't God? And it's absolutely right. Praise God for every time when he finds you a parking space. But it sometimes makes the rest of us curl up. Because we try it, you know, we're a bit late for work. And say, God, give me a parking space. And we go, there is no parking space. And we go around the block and round the block again. And I'm 10 minutes late, quarter of an hour late for work, and no parking space. And we say, oh, you know, what's gone wrong? But think it through, you know, be sensible about it. God is not the supreme parking space organizer. He might want us to have to walk a little bit from where we put our, you know, give us a bit of exercise, otherwise you're going to get too much flab. He might want us to leave for work a little bit earlier so that we, you know, okay. There may be things that he wants to teach us. If he just gives us a parking space every time, a penny in the slot, out comes a parking space, it wouldn't be right, would it? So a little bit of kind of thinking through these issues. What is God doing in my life? What is God teaching? How is God shaping? And do I always want to be taken away from every difficult situation so that everything in life is so easy and so that I just become a kind of Christian? Are there not times when God wants to teach me things through having to walk a quarter of a mile from where I park the car to where I want to be? And so on and so on. You know all that. Number three. We've got to stop in just a moment. Number three is strengthen your commitment to God, the God we serve. The God we serve, verse 17, that's good, isn't it? Because the biggest mistake is to say the God who serves us. I've got a God and he's there to find me a parking space. He's there to get me out of every difficult situation. He's there to move on the neighbours when I fall out with them. He's there to get rid of my difficult boss. He's there to heal every pain that I might ever have. He's the God who serves me, my servant God. Or the God we serve. God, we've already sung it in one of our songs. We don't know where you're going. We don't always understand what you're doing. But I have said, I will follow. I will serve. I will let you be God. Let God be God. Number four, recognize God's sovereign wisdom. Well, we've already touched on that. He will rescue us. There's a kind of contradiction here. They say he will rescue us, but if not, we ain't going to give way. We trust what God is doing. Recognize God's sovereign wisdom, working out his purposes of grace and of power and of love and of goodness, not just in your life. It's interesting, isn't it? We talk about those two ladies in Iran, and our immediate reaction is to say, God, get them out of prison. But suppose God wants to start an incredible work of grace among prisoners in that prison. And it's going to take 5 years for those two women to be able to witness. But at the end of that time, there will be such a revival going through throughout that prison, that from that prison people will go out through Iran preaching the good news. You know, when the communists invaded China, oh God, what a disaster. They're closing down the church. Oh God, what an awful situation. God, get rid of the communists from China. God, stop the persecution of China. But out of the persecution of the Chinese church has grown the fastest growing church in the world, with tremendous experiences of God's power and grace working among them. And God in his wisdom, yeah, he allows people to be put in prison. That Hebrews 11 is such a good chapter. God did fantastic things through Moses and Abraham and all this, but at the end of the chapter, and God also did fantastic things through those who were sawn asunder. That means sawn in two. Those who were tortured to death. Those who suffered and got no release. Our God is wise and he knows what he's doing. And he's chosen some of us to have fantastic lives where everything goes well. And we glorify God by miracles happening in our lives. And we're able to say, God did this and God did that and God did the other. Hallelujah. God has chosen some of us to glorify him by walking a pathway of pain and suffering, of disappointment and setbacks, of unanswered prayer and of hurt. And by walking the way of Jesus through those experiences. And that is a severe mercy. That is a trust that God puts upon some of us. And the final point. Rest your case. I had better rest mine because time has gone. We're not going a multitude of words, they say, verse 16, 17. We don't need to talk about this. We just need to stand firm and let you throw us into the burning fiery furnace. and then wait for it. Let's pray together as the musicians come up. And we particularly pray, Lord, now for any who are facing the furnace. And we say, Lord, in your mercy, yes, it would be great if you delivered them. But come what may, hold them close to you. And in your love, bring them through. Not even scorched, but rejoicing in your grace and your goodness and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.